This morning, we're going to talk about some false concepts of baptism, which is a strange way to start a sermon. So negative, you know, coming from the other side. But that's one way we're going to address the true concepts of baptism by first eliminating those false things. But you know, there's two things that people know or think they know about the Church of Christ. First of all, we don't use a piano. And the second of all, we teach baptism is necessary for salvation. Those are the two things. I mean, that really sticks out. Kind of like a lighthouse on the shore. That's just how those things stick out to people. But you know, most people don't argue the first one. They don't say anything about it. They usually just say, you all don't believe in music. I love music. I really do. And I'm a big fan of the music that we put together here for God, as He requested, singing with our voices and our hearts. But you know, it's the latter option that really gets people going, because there are those that are simply pointing out that baptism is not necessary whatsoever. And we have to continue to teach it and hold it up. You know, there's many individuals and groups that deny the need for baptism. And one of the things, and this makes me sound like a complete lunatic, but here's the thing I want you to think about. Satan, and I'm not trying to give away tonight's lesson, but Satan's here. You're not here, but he's here in the world, you know. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's trying to work in the hearts of men. And what is it that he's going to get behind and push the sails for other than the doctrine that teaches people that want to be saved a way to never be saved? You see, if there's doctrines that are teaching that baptism is not necessary, and you actually read the Bible and realize it is necessary, there's a whole lot of people that are not saved. So there's a line of argument because of that. You know, perhaps it's because of this outspoken denial of baptism that so many members of the Lord's Church have become totally focused on baptism. In other words, that's kind of our go-to thing. Because we know that they don't believe in it, we believe in it. That's our go-to action. That's the number one focus. That's where we really need to put all of our attention. You know, and perhaps we've spent so much time defending, and rightly so, defending the necessity of baptism for salvation, that we've made it seem more than it is. So we could be at fault too. But you know, some have concluded that baptism is a Church of Christ ritual. Some have concluded that baptism is a miraculous life transformer. We'll talk about that in our second point. And then baptism is the only step in the plan of salvation. But let's talk about those three things as we get into our lesson this morning and see if these things hold water. First of all, some think baptism is a ritual of the Church of Christ. Well, first of all, to say of the Church of Christ is kind of a misnomer in itself. The pattern of the Lord's Church and the name of the Lord's Church, all found in the New Testament. We're striving to be the New Testament church. We're striving to be the church of Jesus. Jesus built Matthew 16:18. That's what we're striving to do. But some people believe that we're making this up as we go along. You know, we are well-known arguers for the necessity of baptism. We will say it all day long that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. And, you know, and the thing is that so many people have falsely concluded that baptism is just our ritual of acceptance. You want to be part of the Church of Christ, you're going to be baptized, and that's our rule. You know, and this would certainly be a conclusion of somebody that doesn't consider the authority of God's Word. You know, very seldomly will we have people ask, where's that in the Bible? That's not a go-to phrase anymore. But the thing is that we have a situation where we're saying it's required, it's necessary, and folks that make up their own stuff as they go along, they just accept that. That's what we need. That's what we've decided, you see. If they make up their own rules all the way along, then why don't we make up our own rules? That's what they see us as. All religious groups just make up their own rules as they go. And so why would they expect any different from us? Certainly, this would effectively make baptism meaningless. Do you get that? In the big picture of things, being baptized is entirely meaningless if we've just sat around a table or sat in this room and all voted whether it was necessary or not. It'd make it completely meaningless. Before God, it would make no difference whatsoever. In the big picture, it would have no necessity at all. You see, if we've decided, if it's our rule alone, if it's a product of a human decision alone, that's all it is. Of course, that's not true of baptism. We need to get down to some truth. The truth about baptism needs to be known. The Bible clearly says that baptism is an action, and that's important. It's not a mentality. It's not just a thought. It is an action that expresses your obedience to God's will. When you come forward to be baptized, when you seek to be baptized, when you submit to the water of baptism, you are expressing your obedience to the will of God. Why? Because the will of God has that expectation. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 40, the very first gospel sermon. Peter is preaching and he's talking about the past prophecies and all those things are being fulfilled in that moment of time. He's talking about how the Jews had mistakenly saw Jesus as anything but the Messiah when he truly was the Messiah, and they took him and killed him. And in that moment, when they were completely beside themselves, cut to the heart, as the Scriptures say, with the sin of killing the Savior, they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission of your sins." Baptism is required. But what is it that they expressed in becoming baptized? It says, those who gladly received the word were baptized. They gladly received the word. They listened to the instructions. They embraced the instructions of God. And they obeyed. We also understand that the Scriptures teach us that baptism puts us into Christ. Now, that's an interesting thing. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 27, kind of emphatically, like everybody should understand this, is the way he does it. He doesn't explain it in great detail. He just emphatically says, baptized into Christ. But I want to show you something from Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, I want you to look over there with me if you would. Ephesians chapter number 1 really kind of shows us what we gain by being in Christ. What's it mean, in Christ? It means in a relationship with Christ, part of His body, His church. Okay, but Ephesians chapter number 1, and look at verse number 3. I want you to see the very first verse, and the reading could really go throughout the chapter. We're not going to take it that long, but I want you to see what it says. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Now, I want you to really pay particular attention to that word "us," that collective of people, souls, that is those that are in Christ, because that's how He describes us right here. It says, "Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Now, you take those three words, "us in Christ," and that's the Christians that He's talking about. Those that have been baptized are those that are in Christ. Not just Galatians 3:27, but also Romans 6:3 says the same. We are baptized into Christ. But did you notice something in verse number 3? I don't know, maybe it's just a passing, kind of filling words there. But look what it says again. Let's take a closer look at it. He has blessed us with most spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Is that what yours says? Many? Does that say many? No. Every. See, unless I'm in Christ, unless I'm part of the us in Christ, I don't have any spiritual blessings. So my one point, what I am going to stand and not bow down, not back off until I get the answer for, is how do I get into Christ? How do I get there? And what I would teach and what you would teach, what the Scriptures teach, is we're baptized into Christ. Those that are baptized into Christ and remain in Christ have every spiritual blessing. There are none for those outside. Why do we continue to teach baptism? Because the Scriptures teach that it puts you into Christ. And in Christ is every spiritual blessing. It puts us into the church. Now, this is not puts us in the church, Village Creek Church of Christ, local congregation. This puts us into the church universal. Now, that's a concept we don't often talk about, and we really should. The church universal is not an active group, a working group. It's a collective of all the souls of the faithful, dead and gone and still present today, and Lord willing, yet to come. The universal church. The Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. That's what he talks about in Acts chapter 2. So, when we're baptized, we're put into the church universal. And that's an important place to be, of course, again, in the body of Christ. Baptism is an action that washes away our sins. We just sang together, "What shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." How do we come in contact with the blood of Jesus? Through the washing of baptism. Through the water of the baptism. That's what's necessary. That's what's taught. Acts chapter 2, verse number 38, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins." Acts chapter 22, verse number 16, "Why do you wait? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins." 1 Peter 3:21, "There is now any type which saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God." Our conscience is cleansed, our sins are cleaned, they're taken away in the water of baptism. Baptism is an action that washes away our past sins. Baptism, according to the Scriptures, is necessary for washing away sins. Have I said that enough yet? I'm just not quite sure I have. Because we need to understand that and we need to emphasize that. If someone has not been baptized, they have not been freed from their sins. Their sins are still on them. They're still held against them. What does that mean? Well, Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 27. Have you got that one underlined in your text? I hope you do, or highlighted maybe. Maybe a little star next to it or arrow or something. "There shall by no means enter it." It what? It is heaven, the city of heaven, the place of heaven. "There shall by no means enter it anything that causes an abomination or defiles, causes an abomination or a lie, but only those written in the Lamb's Book of Life." What is that which defiles? What is an abomination? What's a lie? Those are sin. If we still have our sins held against us, they have not been washed away, we're not going to heaven. You get that? And so we need to be baptized in order to have our sins washed away, in order to find the forgiveness that's required of entrance into heaven. So the Bible teaches us that baptism is necessary. The Bible says that baptism is irrevocably linked to the salvation of man's soul. Not just my soul, or not just some participator in a group that I'm part of, but every soul. If any soul is going to be saved, they must be baptized. Jesus said that baptism was necessary for man's salvation in order to become a disciple of Jesus. That's kind of an interesting idea. There's a lot of people that say that they're following Jesus. They love the Lord, that He is their Lord, but they've not been baptized. But Jesus specifically said in Matthew 28 that we are supposed to baptize those that become, what? Disciples. Disciples. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, and Greg read that for us in the Bible study reading earlier, but it was the fact that we must believe and be baptized in order to do what? What's that word that so many people cling to? Saved. We need to be saved. In order to be saved, we must believe and be baptized. You know, it's kind of interesting when you look at that passage. We all understand so many things when the Bible's closed over there on a shelf. We understand things clearly, perfectly well. And then some reason we open up the Bible and everybody goes, oh, you know? Common sense things like "and." Everybody knows what "and" means. You know, "and," peanut butter and jelly. You know, if my mom said, "You want a PB&J or a peanut butter and jelly," I expected there to be jelly on the peanut butter. Didn't you? Wouldn't you? "And," you know, you come along and mom hands you a sandwich and she's got the crust cut off because she loves you. And she puts it out there and she says, "Here's your peanut butter and jelly sandwich," and there's no jelly. I'd be going, "And?" I wouldn't have used that attitude with her. I would have got the shoe, you know. Anyway, we understand "and." Every one of us understand the conjunction of putting two parts together and they cannot be taken apart. It's "and." He who believes is where so many people stop. But then it says, "and is baptized." See, we have to be baptized to be saved. Jesus said that. John records that it's necessary. John chapter 3, verse number 5, "Unless a man is born of the water and the Spirit." Jesus, again, recorded through John. The Apostle Peter said it was necessary in Acts chapter 2. We've been over that one a couple times already. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 21, "That which now saves us, baptism." See, the Scriptures are clear. It is very difficult to read the New Testament and come to the conclusion you don't need to be baptized. I don't know how anybody does it. You know? It's so clear from the scriptures. The apostle Paul said it was necessary. You know, people come along and say, well, Paul said I didn't come to baptize. Well, we need to learn how to read the Bible. First of all, rightly divide the word in order to come to the conclusion of what Paul is saying. But Paul clearly taught that baptism was necessary for salvation. Romans 6, 1-4, we're buried with Christ in his death. We're buried into him. We rise and walk in the newness of life. He's talking about buried in the water. Galatians 3, 27, baptized into Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, we talked about that. We read a little bit of it together earlier. What does the Lord's church do about God's word on baptism? What do we do about God's word on baptism? Well, we listen to it. We listen to what the Bible says and we obey it because God's word says what we need to do and we do what God's word says. Not to try to coin a phrase. You know, we never say or teach that baptism is a ritual of acceptance. That's not the point. Must you be baptized in order to be a member of this local congregation? Yes, because you have to be a member of the church in order to be a member of this local church. You can't have one without the other. But it's not a ritual of acceptance. We have not just voted on this and made it our rule. We see it as God has revealed it, a necessary point of obedience. That's what's required of us. Baptism isn't an empty man-made ritual. Let's get to the next point. Some think baptism is a miraculous life changer. They look for that in their baptism. You know, this is a common misunderstanding that baptism is a miraculous experience. It's all about experience these days, you know? We've got all of these, everything is, seems to have to be an experience. We used to just watch TV, now it's experience surround sound. You know, experience high definition color. You know, it's the truest color on the market. All these, why does it have to be an experience? Why don't we just do things, right? But we have this overwhelming principle that even comes over here to these points of obedience. We have to have an experience in it. Over the centuries, many people have come to the water of baptism expecting to feel a great inexpressible feeling. Oh, well, I was baptized, I just about floated up out of the water. You did. That's how water works. You float up. Anyway, and I'm grateful for that sometimes. It helps. Helps stand folks up. But you know, we're also come to baptism in order to experience an entrance of divine power. God reached down at my baptism and just filled. Really? Come up from the water with a powerful new take on life. This baptism brought me to this powerful new take on life. That's kind of an interesting conclusion in itself. You know, those conclusions have not been drawn from God's word. And I want us to understand that. That is not something that we can read in the scriptures and look forward to and have promise of. They're not there. There are some who have come to expect results like being cured from alcoholism or some addiction or abuse or other cravings. Well, I know I just gave my life to the Lord and I was baptized and I came up out of that water and I never touched it again. That had nothing to do with baptism. I want us to understand that. There also continues to be so much pollution from the charismatic movements in our country that we want some mysterious, unexplainable, you know, experience here in this particular... You know, where is that? Where's the promise of that? These things would make baptism really a sideshow spectacle. You know, we wouldn't miss it. Somebody's getting baptized down at the church. Well, let's go. Let's watch. We need to watch. We need to be excited. We do that. But it's not for some fireworks and sparkles and God's presence and all the other things that people make this out to be some sort of sideshow. And it's not. The truth is that baptism does not render those changes in our life. That's not what it's for. When one is properly baptized, they have no sensation other than the joy of knowing their sins are washed away. It's called relief. It's relief. When we truly understand that we're separated from God and we've gained back an opportunity to be with God, that's relief. And we gain that. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Acts chapter number 8, 36-38. The Philippian jailer, as it were, He rejoiced, him and his household, over having obeyed the gospel. Yes, have joy, but not unexplainable. Why do you have joy? Because you have been relieved from the burden of your sins. But you know, it's not baptism that brings about freedom from addiction or obsessions like so many expect. That's another part of the plan of salvation. What stops those things is called repentance. That's what stops those things. And so we look to the scriptures and we realize repentance is required also, but don't confuse the two. When one truly repents, they determine to cease from sin, and they're going to conquer their sins. They're going to overcome them. There's no sins that's impossible to repent of unless we give up and walk away. And so we know that we can overcome these things. Baptism is not repentance, and repentance is not baptism. We must not get those two things confused. Baptism cleanses our souls of past sins. Repentance changes our actions and changes our lives. Both things are important, but don't confuse the point where those things are. Baptism isn't a miraculous life changer. It is simply having our sins washed away from our souls. Let's get to the last point. The lesson will be yours. Some think that baptism is the only step in the plan. And this is kind of where it comes a little closer to home. There are so many, even among the members of the Lord's church, who emphasize baptism over every other part. There's all these things that we're going to talk about, and Lord willing, before this lesson's done, we're going to talk about different things that must be done in order to be saved. But we'll make statements like, as long as we get them baptized. Or, we need to get them baptized. Or, baptism's the most important part. Is it? Those statements all shed the wrong light on baptism. They all put it in the wrong place. Because of those false conclusions, too many over the years have only become wet sinners instead of cleansed converts. When one is baptized for the wrong reason, they are not cleansed from their sins. I've jumped in a pool before. I went completely under the water several times. Wasn't cleansed from my sins. If you are not baptized for the right reason and the right way, you're not baptized. You're not cleansed. We need to understand that. We need to get a hold of that. It's not just being baptized, not just getting wet. Because if it's not with faith, if it's not with confession of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if it's not with determination for the newness of life, then it's just getting wet. Baptism is not the most essential part. It's not the most important part. In Acts chapter 19, I want you to take a look over there with me. We haven't done a whole lot of page turning. We've talked about a lot of scriptures, but I want you to look over here in Acts chapter 19. Because here's the situation. Church is still in its early days. The Apostle Paul is around, obviously, because he's the one that's going to be dealing with this situation. But I want you to understand that there were some folks, and all they had ever been taught was the baptism of John the Baptizer, which is a baptism unto repentance, an eventual forgiveness of sins when Christ died on the cross. Well, Christ had already died on the cross. They had been baptized inappropriately, baptized for the wrong reason. And so I want you to see what happens there. It happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, verse number one, by the way, upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard there is a Holy Spirit." Holy Spirit? Who's that? And he said to them, "Into what were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." John's baptism at one point was what was necessary. I firmly believe that the apostles were baptized in John's baptism because they were followers. They were disciples of John, most of them, before they came to Jesus. At one point, that's what was necessary. But now, at this point, it's not what's necessary. It's not the appropriate baptism. It's not proper baptism. It's improper baptism. And then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they said, "Oh, we've already been baptized. I'm not doing it again." Is that what they said? So I don't understand. I don't really comprehend when we look at the facts that we've looked at this morning. From the very first thing of every spiritual blessing is for those who are properly baptized. Being in Christ and accepted into heaven one day is for those that have been properly baptized. If somebody comes along and they look at their life and go, I'm just not doing that again. I don't get that. I don't understand that. Look what it says. Look what they actually did. In verse number 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? They'd already been baptized. You know how John baptized? Immersion in water. Just like the baptism that Jesus teaches us. Immersion in water. Burial in water. But I've already done that. But you didn't do it right. We've got to fix that if we haven't done it right. That's what's necessary. See, because the whole idea of just being baptized is people... I was baptized, but were you baptized right? They were baptized for the wrong reason. And even though they had been baptized before, they certainly made it right. They were still lost in their sins because it was not the appropriate baptism for the time. They immediately desired true baptism. There is more to the plan than just baptism. That's why we say it's not the most important part. A lot of God's plan for our salvation is knowledge, gaining the knowledge of His Word. The gospel of Jesus Christ is information about who Jesus is. We've got to know who Jesus is, the Son of God. We've got to know what He did for us, died for us, giving His life in our stead. We need to know those things. That's an important part of the plan of salvation. We need to know what He expects from us now, doing the will of God. We need to understand that in order to be saved. We need to understand that the information has to be believed with all our heart. Says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. May what? May become saved. Follow the plan. He said, I believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Acts chapter 8, verse number 37. Then our actions of belief begin. We take on actions of belief. Repentance is an action of belief. I know that sin is wrong. I'm going to stop sinning. I'm going to repent. It's necessary for me to be saved. Acknowledging that our guilt in sin is true. How many people like to admit that they're wrong in today's world? You know, that's a big deal to be that humble, to be say, I'm wrong. Well, we need to do that before God. Repentance, acknowledging our guilt of sin and determining to stop sinning. Confessing our faith in Jesus Christ. Not just one statement one time, but a brand new take on life where Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is my Lord and Savior. And I will walk it and talk it all my days. We have faith that He is the Son of God, and we're going to confess that faith. And then we are baptized in water for the remission of our sins. Is that a changing point? Yes, but so is repentance, and so is belief. All those things are changing points. They're all important, and they're all just as important as each other. Then we need to have determined continuation in the newness of life. You see, really believing one day and really confessing Jesus Christ one day and really repenting one day and really being baptized one day and then giving up the next day, you're not saved. We need to understand we have to continue in the newness of life, striving to do what's right as a lifelong goal. We need to endure and not go back. Hebrews chapter 10, 35 to 39. We need to eagerly wait for His appearing. Eagerly wait, hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 12. We need to determine to seek His praise, honor, and glory when He is revealed to us at the end. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. There's more to the plan of salvation than just baptism. We need to know the facts about baptism. It has not been decided upon by this local church as a requirement. It's not our decision to make. That's God's decision to make. It will not bring a miraculous change to your circumstance. And it will not be the most important part of the plan of salvation. It is a necessary part of the plan of salvation, but it's just as important as belief, just as important as confessing Jesus Christ, just as important as repentance, and just as important as living on faithfully after you are saved, after you are washed from your sins. We must understand about baptism, it's not a choice. Baptism is not a choice. Now, I know we're free will creatures and we all choose in all of this, but if you want to go to heaven, there is no choice to skip out on baptism. Not one recorded conversion in the New Testament, not one, under the New Covenant, fails to demonstrate baptism is necessary. And we could look at Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4 and literally show you thousands of examples of people that were saved through the waters of baptism. We need to know that baptism isn't some things, but we also need to know what it truly is. It's a necessary part of God's plan for your salvation. It is the action of seeking your sins to be cleansed, and it is the difference between being lost and being saved when coupled with faith, repentance, confession, and continued endurance. Baptism is necessary. The opportunity for you to obey God's plan is right now. See it conveniently now at this moment. At the end of my lesson, I have this chart. That's the plan of salvation. Some folks would just have one big word on there, baptized, but there's more big words up there. This morning, if you're not yet a child of God, here's the thing. This is what we've been talking about. We've been talking about getting to heaven. That is my ultimate goal in life. I've had some goals. You know, I've achieved some goals. I wanted to become 16 and get a driver's license. I did that once. I think I remember. You know, I wanted to get married. I really wanted that. That was a life goal. But, I wanted to be a dad. I wanted to have a son. I wanted to be able to talk about my son and my daughter without doing that. Anyway, you know, I'm just a big sap anyway. I wanted a lot of things, and I still want some goals, but there's not one goal that's ever surpassed my want for heaven. Do you want to go to heaven? You see, what we talked about this morning is about going to heaven. And those in Christ have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Those in Christ have been washed free from their sins, have been set up and acceptable to the Lord. So, where are you at today? If you want to go to heaven, there's an opportunity for you right now to take that on. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you. Determine to confess Him, repenting of your sins, have your sins washed away in the water of baptism. Rise and walk in the newness of life and join us on the road home. We're striving for that place called heaven, one step at a time. But you know, one of the things that I mentioned through my lesson, and I didn't really go into details, was that sometimes we don't stay the course. Sometimes we don't maintain the newness of life. We get a dent or a ding in it. But as a Christian, we have a special blessing and opportunity that if we determine to repent and pray to God for forgiveness, He will forgive us. He's just and right to do so. So this morning, there's some options for us. If you need to become a Christian, there's the plan. Let us help you do that. If you need to return to Christ where you belong, with the hope of heaven embraced to never let it go again, then follow what you need to do through repentance and prayer, and we're here for you. We'll pray with you and for you if we can help you. This morning, if we can help you come to the Lord or back to the Lord, let us help you as we stand and sing.